The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
All are welcome. We're glad you found us. Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Discover hope and healing from the other side. Welcome to Messages of Hope with Suzanne Giesman.
Listen, they're all around you, close as a thought or a memory.
Messages of
Well, hi, everybody. I'm so excited. Not only am I back home in Hilton Head, South Carolina, after being away for 4 months, but I'm here doing the show live with my guest here beside me, like in the studio. So it's very exciting. Candice Blair is a dear friend of mine. I'm thrilled to have her on the show. I'll tell you more about her in just a minute. But I want to remind all of you and tell those of you who don't know that this Saturday, just 2 days from now, I'm doing a charity workshop. It's called Awakened Living, and it's all about tools for finding greater peace and bringing more love into your life, how to raise your consciousness and just be exactly what you came here to be, and a way to kind of judge where you are on your path. This is an event to raise money for Always and Forever Animal Hospice and Shelter, one of my favorite charities, and we have already raised about $12,000 for this Saturday. I am so grateful to all of you who have given from your hearts to this workshop. If you can't afford a donation, I'll be putting it online free afterwards, but we would really love for you to feel the energy and join me this Saturday at 1 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern time. So adjust to your time zone. You can find out more information at suzannegiesman.com/awakened. I really hope you can join me because this is one of my favorite workshops, and those who have attended in the past have truly enjoyed it and learned a lot from it. All right. So my guest today, my dear friend, is Candice Blair. I found out about her when I heard there was this Kundalini workshop, yoga workshop, but with sound healing added to it in the area when I moved here to Hilton Head. And I went for the sound healing first, and this woman played these gongs and these little bells and these bowls, and I just went out into expanded awareness like I never had before. And as I'm experiencing this, I thought, here's somebody I want to get to know. And reached out, and we have connected and become good friends. She lives fairly near to me, but her story is one I'm just so eager to share with all of you, because so many of you have started on the spiritual path, and many of you are like me, very left brain. You have what we call left brain careers. I was, of course, the Navy commander. Many of you in the corporate world or nurses, therapists, psychologists, so many of you come to me and tell me about your very traditional careers, but you want something different. And Candice has broken out of the mold like nobody I ever saw. So Candice, welcome to the show before we go too much farther.
Thank you, Suzanne. It's a pleasure to be here.
It's just awesome to sit here in your energy. We've been chatting for half an hour, so we're just already a little bit high. High on life and love and vibrations. So I didn't tell her about any of the questions I'm going to ask. I have some here that my wonderful friend and assistant Lynette gave me, but I may not even ask any of them. I want to put you on the spot and say, if I had met you 15 years ago, tell me about the Candice I would have met at that time.
Well, that's definitely a little bit different than us meeting today, as I assume it would have been very different meeting you as a naval commander. You know, I was really 15 years ago, I was working over in London. I actually had started my investment banking career in 1998 in San Francisco, and had made my way over to Zurich and to London, working as an investment banker there. And I was really doing, you know, the fast-paced, fast-living financial lifestyle, Suzanne. I was, you know, working 60, 70-hour weeks.
Ouch.
I was up every morning, you know, at work at 5:30.
Wearing what?
Jimmy Choo's and pinstripe suits, I would say.
Right.
So as I'm sitting here cross-legged with no shoes on and crystals around my neck. So definitely a little different. But I was definitely work hard, play hard, work out hard. At that point, I had really lost touch with my spirituality. I was always searching. I was always someone who wanted to find my way to spirituality. I'd kind of lost a little bit of faith in organized religion, so I was a little bit lost in that way. I knew I was looking for something, but I was definitely on the train and the path of what society had told me was success. It was how much money could I make? You know, and that came from me. I had a strict upbringing as well, military, but it was how much money can I make? How fast can I go? And my view of success was extremely different than it is now, but very traditional at that point.
And how good were you at meeting those goals? The money and the success.
I was pretty good at that, I have to say. You know, definitely type A, you know, left brain, very driven, and driven to be successful. It was a man's world. We've talked a lot about that transition too. But, you know, sitting on a trading floor surrounded by men, and I loved it. I mean, this was not a transformation that happened because of a burnout. I loved what I did. I was absolutely fascinated every day.
Wow.
There was it was something new, something different. But, you know, I was missing a very significant part of my life, and I was living a lifestyle which was very masculine. I had completely turned off the feminine side of me.
What does that mean to you? What was not there?
I think I needed to be one of the boys, I thought, to really succeed. I definitely wanted everyone to take me very seriously. So I turned off all of my sexuality as well.
See her. She's talking with her hands like crazy and drawing big boxes and very linear motions here. Yeah,
exactly. So it was, for me, it was living in this man's, being in this man's world. And I
just want to say there's nothing wrong with that at all. I was in the military, which was mostly men's world. And boy, that's what makes the world go round.
Absolutely.
But when you're a woman, there's a lack of balance there.
Absolutely. And I think that even went into my relationships. I wasn't tapped in at all to that kind of that creative side. I'd lost, you know, I just thought, I'm not creative. This is what I do. And when we can talk a little more about that, what I'm finding now that I have this balance, how that's really affected how I view my life so differently now that I'm working on coming into balance.
And how did you handle stress? I don't mean did you handle it well or poorly, but what did you do to handle stress?
I mean, I drank a lot of wine. I mean, really, my outlets, it was funny. I had tried yoga and I hated it. I thought,
really?
This is so slow.
I need to jump ahead and tell you all, she is now a yoga instructor. So, okay, so you tried yoga and hated it.
I tried yoga and meditation. I thought, this is just too slow for me. If I was working out, I wanted to be doing, you know, like what would be the equivalent today of like CrossFit or it had to be high intensity.
That's me. Drop and give me 50 push-ups. Right?
Exactly. And then, and I was going out, I was drinking quite a bit. And I would say that I lost some balance there for sure. That was really my unwinding, particularly living in England. Sorry, anyone who's English, but you know what I mean. Champagne for breakfast. But it was definitely, I didn't have a lot of really healthy ways to release stress or anxiety at that point.
You also worked and lived in Zurich for a while in Switzerland. How long were you there?
I was in Zurich for 12 years and London for 7.
So this is long-term. This is full career as an investment banker?
Yeah. So I specialized in the Swiss stock market and Swiss equities. My client base was London-based hedge fund managers and portfolio managers, and I specialized in the Swiss stock market.
All right. So what brought about this? So now let's just tell people what you do today. Then I'd like to back up and say, what brought about that change? And I just want to tell all of you, some of you may be saying, what does this have to do with Messages of Hope? This is a show, the host is a medium. Anything that raises our consciousness helps us connect to the greater reality, helps us connect to ourselves inside and to know who and what we are. So I like to bring in a variety of guests. And when we live our passion and live our truth, then we align with our path and why we're here. And so this is the story for all of us today. And Candace, this is a great one. So today,
it's actually all about raising your frequency and elevating our consciousness. Now, I am a Kundalini yoga teacher. It's an ancient form of Hatha yoga, but it brings in a lot of things additionally to the physical practice of yoga. It brings in meditation, mantra, mudra. So it's a little bit expansive. Some people would definitely say it's a bit more of a spiritual type of yoga. Then bringing in, I'm a sound healer. So, you know, I'm trying to get Suzanne to do a gong show with me now.
Yeah, we're going to spend the second half talking about sound healing. So this is a great show.
Yeah. So with the sound, and I also, have trained extensively with a shaman, to work with, I particularly work with ceremonial chocolate, which is a high vibration plant medicine for opening the heart and releasing negativity.
Now, I'm hearing this through your parents' ears. I've met your parents. You had Ty and I to your house with your parents. Lovely, lovely people. And they're very traditional. And I want to know what they thought when you said, I'm giving it all up to go be a yoga teacher and a sound healer.
Yes. Well, I remember it. It was Christmas. It was Christmas in 2016.
Not that long ago.
The thing about the transformation is it really was an evolution, not a revolution. So, I mean, it was, can I go back just quickly what that
Absolutely.
Trigger was?
Yeah, I want to hear.
It was in 2012, I was having chronic back issues that I couldn't get rid of. And it was really becoming debilitating. And I'd been to a ton of traditional doctors, and finally, I had someone say, hey, you really need to go to an energy healer. You've got some things that are stuck. And I thought, at this point, I will try just about anything.
Yeah.
And I walked in and I was in tears. And it was
From the pain. Wow.
I mean, I was just really, I'd been uncomfortable for quite some time. And I walked in, and his name is Sam Kankanamage.
Whoa.
And he works, he's got a clinic in London and Sri Lanka. He's a beautiful Sri Lankan energy healer. And he sat me down, and he tapped all over me and did his thing. And I thought, what in the world is going on? And then he says to me, Candace, there is nothing wrong with your back.
I'm filled with goosebumps right now. Listen carefully, everybody.
He said, your liver has probably not taken enough of a breath.
Oh my gosh.
He said, I want you to stop drinking for a month. And this was, I was just having my wine. I didn't think, oh, this isn't. He said, no, it's pulling down the right side of your body. And he said, and I will tell you, I'm not proud to admit this. I was smoking about a pack a day at that time. He said, you haven't taken a breath deeper than the top third of your lungs.
Had you told him your history or social? Did you tell him you drank and smoked?
He'd asked me a little bit about my lifestyle. Mm-hmm. And he's like, and your energy's all over the place. You need to ground down. I want you to come to Kundalini class next week. You need to sit down and just sit all the way down. You know, you need to get in there. And I went to this class, and it is one of those stories where I went to the class and I walked out and I thought, well, there you go. I felt so connected. I mean, they had me doing Kundalini's a little funky. For those of you who don't know, you never know what's going to happen. And they had me chanting and breathing and doing all this crazy stuff. And I loved it. I walked out and I felt so high. I felt so connected. I wanted to hug everybody.
Oh my gosh.
I felt like, oh my, I've got to come back. I felt wonderful.
Wow.
And so that became a regular practice. And when I saw what was happening to me, that I was slowly getting, I was more focused. I was less stressed. My back got better,
wow, with no drugs.
Yeah, exactly. And I was I was slowly, because this was happening, I was drinking less. I was doing like, and this started to evolve. And Sam, he said, well, if you're, look at you, you should take the teacher training and you'll understand more. And I thought, I can't take a teacher training. I've got 60, I've worked 60, 70 hours a week. He said, you'll find a way.
Huh.
And I signed up for my teacher training, and for a year and a half on the weekends,
whoa,
I studied to become a teacher.
Well, there's where that type A personality helped you, because yeah, you're like, you're not going to do something halfway, right?
Well, that's exactly right. And it was challenging, but it was, I was starting, because it was so different, Suzanne. I think that was what was interesting. It was so different from my work life, and it was having such a big impact. I was just fascinated by it. And as I was studying, my teacher played the gong all the time, and she was going to Australia or New Zealand, and she left me her gong for 3 months.
Oh, no.
Exactly. So that kind of, I got to play, I started playing more, and, Kundalini is a wonderful, it's your Shakti energy. Everyone has it, man and women. And when you ignite this energy through the practice of breath work and movement, it helps you to tap into and balance that masculine and feminine. So all of a sudden, you know, I'm kind of like tapping into this creative side. I'm playing music. You know, yeah. I'm feeling, I think I was becoming more aware of my body. Mentally, I was just seeing things a little bit differently.
Boy, if all of you listening are like me, you're like, I want some of that. And we'll tell you how to get some of that. But
exactly.
So did your friends notice a difference?
Yes. Mm. Yes. I mean, I think I'm sure many of you have experienced when you kind of go on this path, there's this beautiful side of starting to awaken up, but not everybody likes that. There tends to be, you know, I think we find as we raise our vibration and become more conscious, there we attract people in that those circles as well, and we kind of elevate those around us, and the people we surround ourselves with elevate us too. Mm-hmm. But then you also, it can cause problems, because you, some people aren't going to like these changes. You know, I know for me, it was a slow process of you know, really treating myself better, choosing to do different things on the weekends. I wanted to go to a sound healing. I wanted to go to a retreat where I wasn't drinking and I was eating vegan. And so,
you eat meat now.
I do uh-huh. eat meat. Yes. Uh-huh. So, but it was.
I know,
like,
because you almost set the house on fire, cooking steaks,
telling a story about the fire. I know. This is true. I have twice now had to use my what is it called? My extinguisher,
fire extinguisher. Okay.
You may not want to invite me to cook at your home.
So that was 2012 when all that started. And in the course of 4 years, what did you just saw that you wanted to make this your life, or was it, I mean, that's a drastic change.
Drastic. I began teaching on the weekends. I started playing. It made me better at what I did. I will say my last 2 years, I was the number one salesperson. Like I was, absolutely. Wow. I was chanting in the boardroom, though. Like, mind you, I'm taking my teacher training. I'm booking 30 minutes in the boardroom. I'm chanting at lunchtime. I mean, but I had a great team,
and they could see
that it was working. They could see that it was working. And I felt wonderful. But my life was evolving so much. And there was a point where it just became, I didn't want to read another research report. A whole new world, a whole door had been opened. Mm. And my teachers were like, no, don't leave, because we need more of you in these types of businesses to help. And I said, no, I sat down to teach, and I have to say, I was like, this is what you're meant to do. Mm. And so for me, it was teaching something that could really, really help people.
So did you actually say, I'm going to give up this work, this business career completely to teach yoga and sound healing?
Yes.
And what did you think? Did you have a financial plan, being a financial planner?
Every financial plan said, do not do this right now. You should stay at your job for the next 5 to 10 years. This is crazy. Oof. Why would you give this up? I mean, I knew that if I wanted to make this change, I had to significantly alter my lifestyle. Like that was just, I mean, I'm 47 for the, you know, I mean, I had to significantly alter my lifestyle if I wanted to mm-hmm. begin again with this work. And for those of you who don't know, the average pay of a yoga teacher is a lot different than a stockbroker.
We were just talking about that. It's stunning. Yes. Stunning. So your parents.
Yes. So Christmas, I came home 2016.
And you're in your mid 40s and we really don't need to care what our parents say, but still.
I do. I love them. You know what? I do so much. And, you know, I just said, I kind of looked at myself, something really important to tell you, you know, I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to move home and this is what I'm going to do. And I think it helped that I was moving home because they were missing me.
Not in with them,
no.
Right?
No, exactly. Not in with them, but move back to America. I think my parents, I've been gone for almost 22 years. And so, you know, I think they were happy to have me home. And my mom will say, you know, I always knew you'd be a great teacher. And my dad was a basketball coach. So I kind of feel like, all right, I am in the family business. I'm, you know, I am teaching and coaching. And I think they could just see how happy I was.
Wow. And she exudes happiness and love and peace. I want you all to check out her website. It's soulfiresocial.com. Soulfire Social. Where did that name come from?
I was really just thinking about what everything meant to me. And I really felt like Kundalini and all these things had set my soul on fire. Oh. And I wanted it to be, you know, a place where everyone could come together, like a social place where people could unite and work together as a community. So it just kind of brought all of the elements.
And so if people go on your website now, they'll find out she's offering all kinds of online Kundalini sessions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which is a wonderful opportunity that people can, anybody listening can join in with you. When's your next class?
Tomorrow morning, 8:30.
So tomorrow we can all be doing Kundalini yoga together with Candace. How cool is that? And I want to tell you, she went from this high salary to, we were just talking about this before the show started, to, she goes to one yoga studio to do live classes. She takes home $20. From the studio, if you don't mind me telling. That's not per student. That's what the studio gives her. I was absolutely stunned. Stunned. She does this because it's her service. She loves it. She loves the connection with people, but you can't live on that. So if you do join her, it's by donation. And if you were going to attend a class in person, it would be easily $18 to $20 a shot. And so online, please donate $12 to $15 at least. This is literally her life's work. It's just so cool. You said to me, you know, if you had told me my job would be bringing groups of women together,
yes,
you know, finish that sentence.
Yeah, I really would have not believed you if you'd have said that to me the 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. You know, I think. I kind of always thought you get a group of women together and it would be, you know, like, I thought of it like, I don't know what I thought, Suzanne. I just thought, oh, I work with the men, it's straight, it's direct and this. And now, like, I am just surrounded by the most brilliant women who are doing such magical things.
But you have men can come to classes, right?
Absolutely. Yes, both. But now I love to lead kind of classes with both men and women. But also now there are amazing opportunities, I think, for women to come together. I do a great new moon ceremony as well. And just, it's just changed my whole perspective on gatherings in my community.
What is the word? I'm fascinated by you because I remember I saw you doing the gong session and didn't know your whole background. Then I went on your website and I hope all of you will go to soulfiresocial.com. Just it's those three words, soulfiresocial.com. And look at the photos. She wears a turban in Muslim. She's not wearing a turban today. What's the little phrase you say about
the broker who bought a turban?
Yeah. Why do you wear the turban?
So the turban is a tradition that comes down from Kundalini yoga because it actually comes from a Yogi Bhajan who brought it over to the West, was a Sikh. So he wears a turban, but that's not it, because it's obviously not a religious practice. But when you wrap a turban around your head, you're hitting some meridian points in the skull that pulls everything together. Also, it just kind of tightens everything up for meditation. But think of it like a hat. Kundalini yoga, you're trying to ignite this fire inside that's in the second and third vertebrae, a Shakti energy in everyone's body. And when you stimulate that, you're trying to work on the flow of energy, working through emotional, physical blocks in the body. So you're kind of putting your cap on tight. So you keep the energy up and in. And so it's just a wonderful way also of crowning yourself as a teacher. When I put it on, I feel like now I'm ready to go.
Ready to work and do it. And at first, you know, for our Western sensibilities, you kind of go like, what's that all about? Why is she wearing a turban? But it fits you in that role, and you're beautiful. She's gorgeous. You have to go online and really check out the photos, but attend a session. You have videos. You've put past sessions on YouTube.
Yes.
So you don't have to attend live.
Yeah. You can look on Soulfire Social. If you go to the video page, it links you. You can see the videos there, meditations, yoga classes, and they're always being updated.
And so this is total body, mind, and spirit. The way you said it healed your back and your energy, and spiritually you're a different person.
Mind, body, soul connection. That's what it's all about.
Wow, it's all about the connection. So that's the backstory to the present story, which is fascinating. Come back after the break, and now we're going to get into the sound healing. We've talked about gongs. Wait till you hear what she does with sound and how you can benefit from it as well.
Interesting.
You're listening to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Welcome back. You're listening to Messages of Hope with Suzanne Giesemann.
I hope you're enjoying this conversation with Candace Blair as much as I am. I wish you could see her here with her beautiful hand motions and her beautiful smile and sparkling eyes. We spent the first part talking about her transition from investment banker to her current work, her passion for Kundalini yoga, meditation, sound healing, cacao ceremonies, which we may or may not have enough time to talk about. But I want to just quickly, before we move on to the sound healing, say, how are you making this work financially if you're getting $20 for a yoga session?
Well, I think it's been quite an interesting transformation in terms of adjusting lifestyle. It's kind of nice that I only really need to wear yoga clothes now. So let's just say my shopping days are definitely over on the high streets of London. But when I came back, a great kind of idea came up where I found a really beat up old house on the island and ended up renovating it. But what I do now is I live in it for 9 months of the year, and then I rent it out to the tourists during the summertime. And that's when I really take off and go traveling. So Suzanne and I were able to meet in Sedona this summer to practice the gong a little bit. But it's I kind of go and share what I do with different studios. And it's an opportunity for me to kind of, make some money renting out my home. I travel and I do so very lightly, and I stay in little casitas or one bedroom basements and save that money, put that towards the mortgage and towards kind of this lifestyle going forward. And as I said, I'm doing the classes and everything donation based, and people are really honorable and have been really wonderful. COVID's been hard, just because there's really just no visibility.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think the key thing that I keep learning is that I have to have faith. And this is not something that sticks up well. I know for those of you out there thinking of making a change, that's when it gets tough to explain, because we don't always have clarity. That keeps being shown to me, COVID especially. It's like I had a plan, I had another plan, and it just kept changing. But because of the tools that I've learned, the yoga helps teach the neutral mind. It helps you to pivot. So all of these things, I'm able to take the experience, find the positive, utilize it, and, you know, transform it. So right now, it's so important that people can access meditation. It's so important that people have these tools to keep neutral, to not get stressed. So there was never a time where what I do is more important. It's just getting the word out there and having faith that the right things are going to come at the right time.
Wow, I love that. So speaking of having tools, I said at the beginning of the show that I discovered the beauty of gongs. I'd learned about gongs at some conferences I attended, but to be able to sit on the floor right in front of you doing a gong session was fabulous. And you beautifully offered a private session, a healing journey for Ty and for me together at your house. And it was so awesome and really beautiful when Ty said, "That was the most spiritually transformative experience of my life." Whoa, whoa. To hear that from my soulmate, my life partner, to hear that, I was like, I need to get a gong. And so I have invested in a gong, actually two now, and I'm really into sound healing with the gongs. I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but for my personal use, I love it. We'll talk later that gongs are quite pricey, and I'm not telling everybody to run out and get a gong. I want to say that again. Do not run out and get a gong because you heard it on this show. It's a huge investment. But we're going to talk about sound healing in general, not just gongs. You can use other things. So tell us about what is your definition of sound healing?
Yeah, so when we're talking about sound healing, this can be a wide variety of ways that you can utilize frequency when it's not available in person, like different radio frequencies. You can even go online and Google on YouTube binaural beats, things that can help you to calm your mind, wonderful things to fall asleep to. So there is the frequency, but then we're talking about vibrational healing. And these are the tools you use that are so wonderful to come to live in person. I mean, you can certainly listen online to bowls and gongs, but I think Suzanne and I would both agree there's something very special about experiencing these vibrational tools in person. Mm-hmm. And I would say crystal singing bowls, the Tibetan metal bowls, gongs of many forms. These are your vibrational healing tools. And what does that exactly mean? Like when we're using sound as sound healing, we're playing these instruments and they create a vibration. The waves are vibrating. And what happens? Physiologically, it's quite fascinating. You're able to take your normal brain waves, beta. So this is your thinking mind, right? It can shift you from beta to theta. And this is the gong in particular. The bowls also do this, but timing wise, in 30 to 60 seconds. Mm. There's no pharmaceutical. I mean, unless you really, you know, I don't know who the doctor is, but there's really, it's faster than a pharmaceutical to get you into this state. Now you can meditate, but that could take you 20 hours, you know, to get you into that state, depending on your, you know, your level of practice. So the gong is so spectacular in allowing you, and these tools in person, allowing you to just drop from the thinking mind to the relaxed meditative mind. And that's what's so great, because I will say, I hear more often than not, I can't meditate. Mm-hmm. And I tell people, well, you don't live, we're not on a mountain in Nepal all by ourselves. You're getting hundreds of thousands of inputs of data a day. So sometimes you don't want to sit there and just quiet the mind, but you can lay back and receive. And that is key as well. These sound healings are about giving people the opportunity to do nothing but receive good vibration, high vibration frequency that's calming their mind. It also has a wonderful impact on your blood, on your circulation.
Wow.
There is a phenomenal YouTube video. An Australian doctor took a group of people's blood before and after a sound healing. Before, most of the blood, the cells were kind of just, it looked like the plasma. It was a little bit like milky, and it was a after the sound healing, strong, vibrant cells. It's clear. Mm. I mean, it has this ability to separate the cells and really get pushing through. Now, on a slightly more esoteric note, those who are, familiar with the energetic systems, like the chakra system or even your chi, what the gongs and the bowls do is they help to shift energy in the body. Now, this is whether it's yoga, chanting, any types of these modalities, what we're trying to do is get you back into flow, your body.
Balance,
yeah,
right?
Balance, exactly. Yeah. So we carry as humans, when we're born, we're really, most people are very much in flow. Babies, they're in flow. And through physical and emotional things that happen in our lives, we get blocked. And a lot of people say your chakras get blocked or you get blocked in your system. These tools are absolutely one of the easiest ways to start to work on shifting those energies. And I always say at the beginning of my sessions, remember it's sound healing, not sound fun, because it can make you uncomfortable.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, right.
Yeah. Yeah, some of the sounds, they're kind of discordant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and piercing, it can cause the first time, you can get a little anxious. And that, I'm always like, well, it's working because, we hold on so tight. Some of us take our emotions, we stuff them down, and we don't address them. And this is, because it's also, it's a very fast way to relax you, but it's also a fast way to work through those blocks.
Well, I just want to interrupt and say, please, in that private ceremony that you did for time for me, I had just the day before been diagnosed this pain in both of my feet was arthritis in my big toe joints. And I thought, geez, at this age, I don't want to have pain when I walk for the rest of my life. We love to hike. This is not acceptable, yes. And it disappeared in that 1 hour session you did for us. It was gone. I hadn't taken any Motrin, nothing, no aspirin, nothing. And it was so obvious, the difference. And now that I've been doing the musical sound healing daily, I don't take Motrin at all and I have no pain. We hiked all summer, no pain. That's just a 1-point check, as we would say, Ty and I, a little Navy term there. But you probably have stories besides your own back healing of others.
Oh my God, absolutely. And I have to say, just on that, I don't even keep Advil in my house anymore. I used to take it all the time for anything. And I mean, these vibrations are healing as well. And I know you asked about the difference between the bowls and the gongs. Just to be clear on that, these different instruments, the gongs, there are many different types of gongs that you can buy that can be tied to kind of, let's just say there's a variety of different gongs that can be tied to astrological signs, etc. They all have different frequencies. And so they make a variety of different sounds. I have a gong that's for deep healing. I think the sun is the ones that you have. Is there a particular
transformation?
Yeah. So there, and so the gongs all have their own kind of special resonancy. They're all their own hertz. But the bowls in particular are very interesting because they resonate the different, like A, D, F is your heart chakra, F is for the heart. And so you can buy bowls, and this is a little bit more economical way to get started. You can buy a bowl to the energy center, which resonates most with you, where you feel you need the most work. And they're just so beautiful to play because they can really help to shift, blockages in the specific energy centers.
And I find this interesting because now when I sit down to play my gongs, I can play for 15 to 20 minutes there's no time. I just go right into that meditative state, but I never found that with a bowl. So how do you recommend people use a bowl for themselves, not going to a sound healer? How would you sit with, if you just had one economical bowl, how would you use that to heal yourself?
I think you're right. I mean, I have to say, I had two bowls for a while, and it wasn't until I had three that I really enjoyed and could get kind of lost in the sound. The smaller metal, like Tibetan-based types of bowls, that you can use. But if you're working, say, with just one bowl, say it's an F bowl for the heart, just allowing yourself to create that beautiful sound with your mallet on the bowl. And I would recommend breathing with it or even listening to a guided meditation while you're doing it. And that will allow you to bring in those vibrations into the body.
So how important is intention?
Very important.
Yeah.
So they say particularly that these instruments play you, and this is particular for the gong, that, you know, when I sit in front of the gong, I always say, I'll have a little chant that I say, and it is my goal to be able to drop my ego and not play for the performance of it. But I'm meant to try and tune in to the people that are in the room. And in that way, you're able to kind of start to play the gong in a way and in places that might resonate with the energy centers people are blocked. But you're playing the energy for the energy in the room. It's why it's always different. It's never the same. You know, you can never, I still to this day, I make sounds on my one gong. I can't even believe it. I go, what? I've never heard that before.
It's so cool.
It's so cool.
Now, gongs don't really translate well to video. You really need to feel that vibration in its presence. But do you have any videos of yourself playing the gongs online so people could see?
I think I have. I have to say, I'm working on getting a higher quality video and the sound. There is one, if you have a look on the YouTube or on my website, that says Sedona Sound Healing, where I just did the sound healing retreat with a beautiful bowl player in Sedona. And that video is on there, and you can get a little flavor for it.
So what happened at the sound healing retreat?
So it was beautiful. We did 2.5 days and talked a lot about kind of the theory behind these different frequencies, talking about the brain waves, how sound is being used in many more kind of medical environments now. There's quite a few places where they're using the gongs or bowls for in cancer studies as well, because it also is de-stressing. You're releasing, you know, bringing you into that state of flow, lack of stress, and we know bringing you into a place where you can heal better. And if it has that effect also on your circulation, all of that is wonderful in more of a clinical setting.
And so as a medium, this is why I love these modalities, because it's all about the body of a medium is the vessel, is the instrument. So the more clear this instrument is, the clearer the connection when I connect with people's loved ones across the veil. So any of you who are interested in connecting across the veil with anyone in the other realms, to clear out the gunk, to be balanced, to be in that state of flow, all of these modalities help with that. And the Kundalini yoga as well.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And they're all, it's all vibration. And even when you bring in the plant, that's vibration too. So, you know, we're working all of these instruments, even meditation, if you're chanting, if you're humming, all of these things that are sound are to elevate your vibration. You're creating vibration. And I love to chant now. I mean, I never used my voice before, but it's one of my favorite things to do, use my own voice to create a vibration and an elevating frequency.
Huh.
And you're creating a vibration in the body, but you're also sharing it then out with the world.
I remember going to one of your sessions with my friend Irene, and I said, it's a Kundalini session. And we showed up and you said, oh, you picked this one, huh? And I didn't realize I was picking a particularly challenging one.
Oh, my goodness.
Why are some of these more challenging than others? And tell the listeners why it was challenging.
So challenging. Well, so the difference in Kundalini from, say, your traditional vinyasa, which is probably what 90% of yoga studios around America are vinyasa-based studios. And it's kind of like we've taken the physical part of yoga and put it into a studio. Although I think the demand for something more is definitely coming. And that's one thing I really love about Kundalini is it brings in breath work, which is also energy, right? Our life force energy.
Mm-hmm.
And we really always like start classes with that to help people come into a bit more alignment. So we use that pranic energy, you would say, then using the movement to shift the energy. And this is just it's kind of interesting just to see how the classes go. Then you actually lay down for your resting period. And that's when you play the gong, because that helps you to integrate everything you've done. Then all of that, and this is what we forget, all of that work is just to get you to the point of meditation and chanting, which where you're using your own voice to elevate yourself. And sorry, I've just forgotten your question.
What was so particularly hard about the session that I went to? I can tell you it was challenging. And my type A personality came back in spades. I'm going to do this. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. But it was like, really?
Oh my gosh. So there is a particular, there's 9,000 different sets of Kundalini, but there is a particular book that is called the Rebirthing Series. Now, this has nothing to do with kind of birthing a life. It's more about rebirthing and clearing your subconscious so that you can go out into the world with a very clear, neutral mind. But it involves, like, we did a 30-minute chant, moving our arms. I mean, it is significantly longer postures, say, doing things for 10, 15 minutes. It was a two-hour workshop, and I have to say, of that entire book, I think this might have been the hardest one of those series. And so Suzanne shows up, and usually, like, and please don't think this is, if you're going to join one of my classes online. I promise they are so fun and they're so elevating.
Yes, definitely.
But these workshops are, they're meant to be the toughest of the tough because you really are. It's all about cleaning out the garbage.
But well, I have to tell you, afterwards definitely felt clear and free and relieved it was over.
I could see it on your face.
But I love when you bring out your sound instruments. And so you just spent a good deal of time in Sedona, and you even took some shaman training. And I love what you said before we started the show. I said, so are you a certified shaman now? Tell everybody what you said.
I would say that I have scratched the surface of about 1%. The shaman who taught me said, if anyone tells you they're a shaman, then I would run, you know, very quickly away from that person. Because being a shaman, we all have the ability to connect with nature, our inner shaman, and be kind of, you know, in tune with the vibrations of the planet, of, you know, of the elements around us. But I think when we really think about training with a shaman, an indigenous person, be it with, you know, I was able to connect with elders from the Lakota and the Hopi tribes while I was in Sedona.
Nice.
The shaman I trained with for cacao, she had trained specifically with shamans in South America. So I would say that I learned 1% of what it takes to be a shaman. And I can't imagine in this lifetime that I would ever feel up to that level, but it scratched it. It was so magical in terms of, I told Suzanne, a lot of what I've done the past 10 years has been calming my mind and quieting my mind from everything that's going on externally, all of these inputs so that I could be more centered. The shamanism is helping me now to open up to all of really the wonders of nature and vibration and of this planet with open eyes.
Mm-hmm. So rather than the inward focus, an outward focus as well.
Yeah.
So a lot of discord in the world right now, and people are not, they have dis-ease or unease with the COVID situation and other things going on. What are your best tools for dealing with that for anybody who's listening?
Absolutely. And I think one of the key things that you need to be able to do is just come back into your heart space. This is so important. We are seeing so many people being driven by fear. It's causing so many challenging reactions. People are overly reactionary. And I think the ability to calm the mind, to be able to really sit down and get back in touch with your heart and your truth, where we can have understanding for people. I think this is a key thing. Understanding one another, being less reactionary. So meditation is so important. I also think, though, you know, so many people are staying at home. You want to make sure you're moving. This, we cannot underestimate the power of shifting energy in the body. And I think just feeling strong of mind and body.
So tomorrow they can do a Kundalini session with Candace online.
Absolutely. Live. And if you sign up for my newsletter, you'll see that on the website. I do a free weekly meditation. I just started it this week. So every week you'll get, I'm keeping it to 5 minutes. So this is not overwhelming.
Wow, nice.
And we'll do everything from trying different breath work. We'll do, you're going to, you know, try a little chanting just to give it a shot. But I want to just introduce all the different ways you could be creative with meditation to kind of get into this nice space. So even if you're in the grocery store, you know, and you're mad at the lady in front.
Exactly. You have this whole toolbox and you just instantly access it. I just cannot tell you again how, I know you faced some real challenges this summer when your computer crashed and somebody hacked your accounts. We don't want to dig up that energy, but you handled that with beautiful equanimity. I'm not saying you didn't lose it. That's the human side, but came back in balance. It was admirable. And I know that's the result of all of these tools. Mm. Yeah. So we talked at the beginning of the show how you had this successful career. It was all about success and earning more money and being one of the top earners. And how do you define success today?
Yeah, very, very differently. I would say I take what I've been working on and then the past 6 months as well, kind of, I think for a lot of people helped us to see our priorities. So all of the things that I've learned have really, it's been solidified. I judge my success now really by a feeling in my heart. And I know this might sound very strange, but I try and wake up every morning with a great big sense of gratitude for being alive and for having the opportunity to explore a new day. I really try and feel in my heart this sense of calm. I, you know, set an intention for the day. Success for me now is having time to spend with family. It's teaching a beautiful class, having the opportunity to share what I do with other people. It's also finding faith, to be honest with you. I mean, that's success is finding faith that it will all work out, that there is a divine plan. And it's when I feel connected. And I'll tell you what, I used to walk around, I'm touching my solar plexus right now because it was unsettled. And success to me now is when I can walk in, sit here with you, and I feel whole, and I get chills too, and I feel connected. And I know that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And I know that I can't explain it in monetary terms any longer. And yes, I mean, I would be lying if I said these concerns are not valid in there. You know, I'm not a multimillionaire that I have to worry about it. You know, I have to create a new path, but
I would say you don't worry about it. You just think about it, right? You just give it some thought.
Yeah. Yes. And I do trust.
But you are not a striver. You're not striving anymore. I don't feel that at all with you.
I've lost my hustle.
I would say if you're striving for anything, it's to reach more people and help them to find what you have found.
Yes. Thank you. Well, we'll just let Suzanne something.
No, that's so just saying what I've observed in you, Candace.
That's true. That's really true.
Yeah. Any final thoughts for everybody who's listening?
Oh, my goodness. I just thank you so much for tuning in to this beautiful show. I have just loved being with Suzanne and becoming friends. And just thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to share this with everyone. Please contact me if you have any questions.
Yeah, I know you'll answer emails. And the beautiful part is this is just the beginning, I hope, of many people coming to find you because you're just active, you're online, you're out there for everybody to get to know, and you're offering tools that all of us can use right now. So everybody, soulfiresocial.com, visit regularly. She always has things going on, and I'm so grateful to you, Candace.
Thank
love you.
You
so much.
Love you so much.
I love you,
Suzanne.
All too. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you for listening. This is Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.